We're now with Parsha Vayishlach in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chaf, Vayetzev Shom Mizbeach. Yaakov sets up a Mizbeach, Vayikra Lo, and the way the Gemara Megillah is going to interpret it, Vayikra Lo is not a reference to Yaakov, but rather a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel, and who called Yaakov Kel, Elokei Yisrael. And this is the Agadat in Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Ches. Omer Av Acha, Omer Av Lozer, Minayin Shekaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kel. Or I guess in this case we could say El, because it's referring to Yaakov. Shenemar Vayikra Lo Kel Elokei Yisrael. Isal Kedaitach Lemizbeach Korle Yaakov Kel. Is Vayikolo Yaakov mi boile? It should have said that Yaakov called it, meaning the Mizbeach Kel. And also it would be a pella to say that the Mizbeach itself is Kel. But rather, Ella Vayikolo Li Yaakov Kel. Hashem called Yaakov Kel, mi koro Kel. And then the pasuk implies a question and answers it, Elokei Yisrael. Now let's turn back a little bit to the parasha of the encounter between Yaakov and Esav back in Perek Lamed Beis. In Pasuk Ches it says, Vayira Yaakov miod vayetze lo vayachatz es ha'om asher yitov ves etzon ves habakar vagmalim lishnei machanos. Rashi reflects on the Kfelus HaLoshon, Vayira and Vayetzer. Says Rashi, Vayira Shema Yehorek, Vayotzer lo, Vayetzer lo, Im Yarog Hu Es Acherim. Now, I'm going to suggest two different novel interpretations of this Rashi. One is from the Mariel Diskin, and the other is from some of the contemporary Mefarshim on Chumash, Paris Yosef, Chafetzel Sashoron. The Mefarshim want to reinterpret this Rashi probably because it didn't make much sense to them that Yaakov would be anguished about killing others. After all, as the Mariel Diskin asks, we have a principle called Habola Hargacha Hashkeim Laharga. And if Esav and his men would attack Yaakov, then certainly, if need be, they would kill their attackers. So what's the big deal here about Vayotza lo, Rashi says, Im Yarog Hu Es Acherim. Matzar lo, Im Yarog Es Acherim. That's the language of the Mariel Diskin. Halo Gabi Rotzeach, Mutu Lahatzil, Atzmo Benafshu Shal Rotzeach, might even be a Chiyuk. Habola Hargacha Hashkeim Laharga. So the Mariel Diskin suggests a very novel interpretation. And he says that there was a nevuah of Rivka, maybe she wasn't even aware of it, he calls it a nisnaba shalomidata, but Yaakov was aware of it. Loma eshkol shnechem yom echad. As if to say that both Yaakov and Esav would perish on the same day. So Yaakov was afraid, based on that nevuah, that if he's going to kill Esav, admittedly in self-defense, but nevertheless, who yomus? That Yaakov himself would die as a fulfillment of that prophetic promise. Lachain, therefore, Vayitzel al Atzmo. He was upset about himself, that if he has to kill Esav, he might be jeopardizing his own life. And he tries to fit this into Rashi's language. Rashi says, Vayitzel lo im yarog hu es acherim. It sounds like if he will kill Acherim, then he has to worry about himself. And that's because of the Nevuah of Rivka. However, There's another mahalach in this Rashi, even if you don't want to take Rashi kipshuto, that Yaakov didn't want to kill others. And that's based on two Gemaras if we combine them. One Gemara is in Gittin, in the famous Agadita about the Churban Abayis. And that Agadita refers to Nikon Caesar. This is the Caesar of Rome, one of the offspring of Esav. And it says in the Gemara here in Gittin and Vav, Shadar Alayhu Leniron Kesar Kikaasi Shadar Gira Lemizrach Asavanafal Bishalim Lamayr Vasavanafal Bishalim La Baruchal Sashavai Asavanafal Bishalim. Wherever he sent this Gira as an arrow, it always fell in the direction of Yerushalayim. Amalei liyanuka psokli psukech. Sometimes you want to interpret something that's going on, you ask for a child to tell him your pasuk. What pasuk is he learning today? Amalei quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'nasati es nikmasi bi'edom, and I will put avenge Edom. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu boi lechiruvei beisei. If you want to destroy my bias, my base on Migdash, you'll have to come. You'll be taken to task for that. You'll need an atonement for such sin. And it says Arik v'Azel v'Igayer that Neron decided that he would convert to Judaism. V'Nafek Minei, and as a result, who was born? One of his descendants was Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir turns out to be a descendant of Neron, who's a descendant of Esav. Now, if you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to hit the Mitzri, in that story back in Shmos, Vayifen Kovacho, Chazal say he looked this way, he looked that way, trying to see if anything good would come from that Mitzri, down the line, any descendants. And when he found there was none, then he decided to hit him. Here too, Yaakov Avinu was really afraid that maybe he'll be forced to kill Esav, admittedly in self-defense, but as a result, somebody great is going to come out of Esav, won't be able to be born because Esav is killed, and that's Rabbi Meir. Now, that's one thing, but how does that fit into Rashi? So for that we have to see a Gemara in Horios, and the Gemara is going to tell us about Rabbi Meir, and the Gemara says that whenever you see Acherim in Shas, then you assume it's Rabbi Meir. The Gemara in Horios tells a whole long story, and in the story Rabbi Shimon Gamliel accused Rabbi Meir of something, there's a slight misbehavior, and as a result, he said, we'll let you come into the Beis Medrash, but you'll have to suffer a knas. And what was the knas? The lo nemru shmaita mishmehu. That they wouldn't be able to say over a sugya in his name. So asikul Rabbi Meir, acherim. Instead, they gave Rabbi Meir a name, acherim. So instead of saying the sugya and the halacha in the name of Rabbi Meir, they said it as Achirim. And now if we go back to our Rashi here, in Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi says, Vayitza lo im yara guas Achirim. It's very sharp now, because what Yaakov is afraid of is that if he'll kill Esav, and ultimately Rabbi Meir is a descendant of Esav, he's killing Achirim, and Achirim here refers to Rabbi Meir. Now, once we're in this mode of kind of seeing the Doros and see how someone in Tanakh, even if he's a non-Jew, might be the forefather of somebody great down the line, we'll take a look at Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva also might be someone who's down the line from Esav, because, and usually I don't learn Kabbalah, but here's a light concept in Kabbalah, which is based on Rabbi Chaim Vital, and that is that Rabbi Akiva was the Akev of Esav. You remember that when Esav was born, Yaakov was holding on to his heel, to his Akev. And Rabbi Akiva, who's a descendant of Esav, because Rabbi Akiva was born to Gerim, is the Akev of Esav, of Esav. And that means that the Akev is the lowest part of the body, what's called by the mystics a klipa, but this is the omeka klipa. This is like the lowest of the low of the klipa. Klipa is the part of existence that's very dark and antithetical to Kedusha. That's where Rabbi Akiva is holding. He's the Akev of Esav. So what happened? How did Rabbi Akiva make it to be the greatest? Yaakov hela oso misham biyado. Yaakov was the one who lifted up Rabbi Akiva from that Akev when Yaakov held on to the Akev of Esav. So we have here Yaakov was concerned about killing Esav because Rabbi Meir is going to be a descendant, and now we have another concept here that Yaakov somehow uplifts or inspires Rabbi Akiva, who is a klipa, the omeka klipa of Esav. And perhaps if we're talking about these kinds of generations, you know, the relationship between Esav and Rabbi Meir down the line, between Esav and Rabbi Akiva, then we might be able to talk about the parsha here in Vayishlach of Shechem ben Hamor. So let's take a look, for example, in Perek Lamed Hei, Vayomer Elokim El Yaakov, Kum Alei Beisel, Veshev Sham, Vasei Sham Mizbech Lakel, Anirtza Elecha, Bibarcha Mipnei Esav Achicha. So Hashem commands Yaakov to go to Beisel, to dwell therein, and there establish a Mizbech for the God that appeared to you and presumably protected you when you were running away from your brother Esav. And once again, we see that Yaakov Avinu is running away from Esav. And perhaps we could add that Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to kill Esav, even if need be, because that would have an impact on Rabbi Akiva down the line. And it was Yaakov Avinu who wanted to rectify and uplift Rabbi Akiva. But let's see the parasha of Shechem ben Hamor. This is in Perek Lamed Daled, and in Pasuk Yutes Velo Echer Hanar Lasos Hadover Ki Chofetz Bibas Yisrael Hu Nichbad Mikol Beis Aviv. So Shechem, the son of Hamor, is not going to dilly-dally. Yaakov Avinu, or shall we say Shimon Levi more precisely, offered him a deal that he could marry Dina, but only if he circumcised himself. And once that deal was on the table, Shechem immediately, without delay, took this opportunity, advantage of this opportunity, because he so desired Dina. And here the word is chafetz bebas Yaakov. Chafetz means he has a ratzon, a desire, and a will. Now, there's an anthology of Midrashim called the Yalkut Ruveni, and here on this pasuk he says, Shechem b'ni, when Shechem is, when Hamor, the father of Shechem, approaches Yaakov in order to get the hand of marriage of Dinah for his son Shechem, he says to Yaakov, Shechem b'ni chashka nafsho bibitchem. In other words, here we had another word. Before we had the word Chefetz Bibas Yaakov, now it's Choshka Nafsho Bibitchem. And here, in the Yalkut Ruveni, it says something amazing and something pretty fundamental. And that is that it makes no sense according to the rules of metaphysics to accept this possibility, this reality that Shechem has a cheshek, choshka nafsho, in Dina. Why? Because they're antithetical, one to the other. Dina represents Kedusha, and Shechem represents, or shall we say, personifies Tumah. And Tumah never has a desire to link up with Kedusha. Unless, im lo shahayelo ezes shaychus l'kedusha ruyel hili toyer. If the element of Kedusha, of sanctity, is somewhere inherent in the person, in the personality, maybe deep down, way, way, way below the surface, but it's their potential, then and only then can we understand that even though the person embodies and personifies Tumah in his way of life and his behavior pattern, nevertheless he has it within him some sort of yesod, some sort of spark, if you will, of Kedusha, and that's what brings Shechem to desire Dina. In other words, Shechem l'chor represents Tumah, Dina represents Kedusha. Those are two, they repel each other. So how could it be that Shechem Choshka Nafsho Bibidina, he has a cheshek for Dina? How could that be? Tumah has no cheshek for Kedusha. Again, this is all in a conceptual sense. We're not presenting this as a physical, biological reality of a hedonistic desire and a lust of Shechem for Dina, but rather in conceptual terms, Shechem is an archetype of Tumah. So how could he have any desire to link up and to cling to Kedusha when Tumah and Kedusha are mutually exclusive? Now, how do we understand this cheshek of Shechem for Dina? And the only way we can do that is if we assume that inherent in the personality, in the being, in the character of Shechem is some sort of Kedusha, an element of Kedusha. And based on that element of Kedusha, there's a taiva, there's a cheshek to want to have a relationship with Dina. Now, again, you know, this is already Bederech. I don't know if you want to call it Sod or Remez HaTorah. This is not Bederech Pshat. Next week when we get to Parashas Vayeshev, I'd like to give a shiur on the concept of Ein Mikra Yotze Bnei Pshuto and how to understand the Pesukim, especially according to the Rashbam. He's he's the one who personifies this principle of Pshuto Shel Mikra. But now we're taking this on a different plane, on a different level. Everything now is Remez and Sod, and we're talking about Shechem representing something and Dina representing the exact opposite, and how could they one have a taiva for the other? The answer is that even Shechem, even though he embodies and personifies Tumah, but nevertheless he has a side Kedusha, which is certainly not apparent, but it's deep below the surface, and that element of Kedusha wants to link up with the Kedusha and the sanctity of Dina. And again, I have to submit to you that when you get into these kinds of concepts, then you sort of undermine a certain level of pshat. We don't usually consider that someone who personifies evil and then has to be put to death is someone who also at the same time represents Kedusha. It's almost we almost have an allergic reaction to this, not a good reaction. But hopefully as we get into this, we'll see that the analysis of the personality of Shechem by so many different mepharshim, including the Medrash, as someone who has tremendous potential, never realizes that potential, but maybe one of the dimensions of which he's trying to implement and realize this kedusha, this sacredness is by having this relationship with Dina. So fairness, kedusha of Masechta Shabbos towards the end of the Masechta quotes a sefer by Hagon Moreinu Harav Shimshon Esther Pafoli, and he calls him a mekubal. He speaks of him in very high terms. Apparently, this is one of the great mekubalim, Rabbeinu Shimshon, Master Poli. And now, there is a presentation here in his sefer called Likutei Shoshanim, which he opens with Rozin Ilon, as if to say that he's going to reveal some high, lofty secret of the Torah. And this whole piece is a presentation about Rabbi Akiva. We know that Rabbi Akiva was a Ben Gerim. We've discussed the fact that Rabbi Akiva is a descendant of Esav. And that was the Ochezes the Akev Esav. The Akev here is representative of Rabbi Akiva. And that's because if you take a look at the letters of the word of the name Akiva, you'll certainly end up with Akev, the Ayin Kuf Beis. But in this presentation, Likutei Shoshanim, which is a Kabbalistic work, he says Besod Yitzias Nishmas Shabbi Akiva. He says that we're going to get into the secret of the death of Rabbi Akiva. If in Yirtz Hashem we succeed in understanding at least part of his presentation, Rabbeinu Shimshon, then we'll begin to understand the word Echad, which is the word, the last word that Rabbi Akiva recites or proclaims as his neshama leaves him, because he left this world with Shema Yisrael. And first, he starts with the fact that the gematria of Akiva is the same as 183. And that's readily apparent because the Kuf is 100 in Akiva, and then the Ayin Yud makes it into 80, and then we have the 3 of Beis Aleph. And in order to appreciate that gematria, we'll have to take a little bit of a detour. And that is that if we go back to, again, in Kabbalistic terms, the Shoresh Neshama of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva comes from Gerim, then we can trace Rabbi Akiva all the way back to Shechem ben Hamar. And this is interesting. So we're not talking in this context about Esau, we're talking about Shechem. Now, what we're going to try to understand here is that Rabbi Akiva has a special relationship, or shall we say, an obligation with regard to understanding Torah Shebaal Peh in general, but I want to focus on one particular dimension, and that is the word S. And we're going to see that S is a word that stimulates the Chachamim to think about some sort of ribui. Now, in the parsha of Dina and Shechem, there's a word S that plays a very important role. And this is something that's brought out by the Baal HaTurim on the pasuk that we saw earlier. Lo Icher, let's read the pasuk one more time. Lo Icher Hanar Lasos Hadover Ki Chofetz Bebas Yaakov. And it says Lasos Hadover,
And chaser po es, the word es is omitted here. It could have said, and it should have said, lasos es hadavar.
Now, sometimes the absence of a word is a marker or a pointer that tells you to look elsewhere in the parasha and see where you find the word. Okay, so then we're talking about ki chofetz bibas Yaakov, the pasuk of lo icher hanar lasos hadavar, where the S is missing, is a, in the broader context, is an expression of Shechem's desire, his chefetz, to marry the Bas Yaakov. And he writes, Vehu echad miyud gimel esim hachaserim. So Chazal speak about 13 psukim in the Torah where the S is missing. This is one of the 13. Now, where do we find this word S that's missing? Where does it appear? The Torah says, and he's so excited about this that he says that he would tell his father, meaning the Rosh, Mori Varabi, and he to Kabbal Mimeni, Kabbalah Mitis. The Oso Esha Chaser Po Hula Mala Beposuk. Hirba lai moar, umatan, utnuli es hanara leisha. So that Shechem and Chamor really are asking for a set a price. You know, they tell Yaakov, how much of a dowry do you want? And we'll give you this, and then you will give us Es Hanara for a wife for Shechem. So the S that was chaser there, Ksiv Hocha, Es Hanara. Now, why is the S in this Pasuk, when it refers to the Moar and so forth, why is it so important? Why is it playing such an important role, other than the fact that it's an S to replace another missing S? He says, Raza de Milsa ki beposu ki rasa goyim ba mikdasha. He quotes a pasuk in the beginning of Eicha, ki rasa goyim ba mikdasha. Now, he finds in that pasuk a remez to Shem Havaya, to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And how does he see that? Besofei Tevos. So if you look at the last letter, now there are five words here. Yud Kei Vav Kei is only four letters. So the last letter of four out of these five words, and that's words number one, which is Yud. Word number two, Rasa, is Hey. And then you skip Goyim and you get to Bo. The last letter is Vav. And then Mikdasha. The last letter is Hey. So you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then you have Goyim Ba'emtza. What it means is that the Goyim are the ones that are responsible for destroying the Mikdash. Rasa bo Mikdasha, in other words, we would be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash if not for the fact that the Goyim, which wedges in here between in the middle of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, have blocked our way and ultimately destroyed the Mikdash. And this is similar to another pasuk, which is in Tilim Ayin Tes, a parak that we often recite, Mizmor LeYosef, and it says there, Elkim bo'u goyim v'nachlasecha, timu es heichal kodshcha, somu es yushlayim le'iv. So this goyim in the beginning of Eicha is a reference to the bo'u goyim v'nachlasecha, timu es heichal kodshcha in Tehillim. And
There's another pasuk, which is in Yoel, and there the pasuk says, "V'altitein nachlascha lecherpa limshal b'goyim." So once again, the goyim here is the nachlascha lecherpa. These are the goyim that are destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Ratzal Lomer, he says, Milas Goyim Hamafsekes Ba'emtza, which we saw that the word Goyim is a mafsek in the Pasuk in Eicha, Kirasa Goyim Ba'o Mikdashech in the Yudke Vavke, it's a mafsek in the Yudke Vavke, is a reference to the Goyim that are going to destroy the Mikdash, which we see both in Tilim and in the and elsewhere in Tanakh in Yoel. Then he says, Avali Asid, what's going to happen at the time of the Mashiach? He says, Aleph Yud Kei Yikuyam. There'll be a kiyum of Viadati Ki Bekerev Yisrael Ani. So that pasuk is the pasuk that foretells the binyan Beis Hamikdash at the time of the ultimate geula, time Mashiach, and that's bekerev Yisrael ani, that Hashem says I'm in the midst of Israel. Vida, he says, ki besod goyim. Lashon Rabim. Why is the word Goyim in plural? After all, this is a Lechora reference to Esav and Edom that are going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. He says, "Who sowed Nifla b'Pasuk, Mashakosuv Paro, Mashomar Paro, Hashem Atzadik, Vani Vani Harishoyim." So now we're introducing another nation into the equation, that's Mitzrayim. And if you take a look at this pasuk again, what you're going to see is Yudkei Vavkei. So for example, you go to Rashi Tevis, not Sofei Tevis, but you look at Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei, so you have the Yud, and then you have Hatzadik, which is Hei, Va'ani, which is Vav. And then it says, actually, let's leave out the word Va'ani for a moment, we'll come back to that. It says Va'ami Harishoyim. So the Vav of Va'ami and the Hey of Harishoyim, that completes the name Hashem. In the middle of this pasuk is Va'ani, is Paro speaking about himself. So Paro now is in the middle of Yud Kei Vav Kei, breaking up the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So we have now Goyim, which presumably we are referenced to both the Romans and now Paro, Harelech Atrei Goyim, Mafsikim Beinenu Veveinu Avinu Sheba Shemaim. So any word that wedges in the middle of Yudke Vavke is an indication, it's an allusion to a nation that's going to break up our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Yudke Vavke that's written in the Torah. Now, let's go back to the pasuk Utnuli Esanara Leisha. And if we look at Sofei Tevos, we have Yudkei Vavkei, again, not in order, but you have the two Hays of Hanara Leisha at the end of those two words, and you have the Vav at the beginning, you have the Vav at the end of Utnu, and then you have the Yud of Li, at the end of Li. So what comes in the middle? You have the word S. Now that S is a representative of the Goyim that are going to destroy and break up our relationship to Avinu Shebashamayim as it expressed itself in the Migdash. And that's the S here, over here. And this is the S of Parashat Shechem. Now, what's this all about? As I said before, Rabbi Akiva is in charge of fixing up Essen, because the Gemara tells us that they were Doresh all the Essen Shabbat Torah until they got to one S, which they couldn't darshan, Es Hashem El Kechatira, and that's where Rabbi Akiva stood up, and he was able to darshan that S. So he, so to speak, fixed up the S. And now the S is symbolic of this wedge that breaks up our relationship as a people of Israel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's fascinating here is that in the pasuk that's describing the love and the lust of Shechem for Dina, here's where you have the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and here you have the S that breaks it up. So it's a funny kind of thing. The Tnu Li Es Hanara La'isha, in a sense, is a very holy sentence that comes out of the mouth of Shechem, and the S represents the Shechem that's breaking it all up, and therefore we need Rabbi Akiva to come and redeem that S, so to speak. And by rectifying the S, to allow the Yud Kei Vav Kei to be complete and the relationship between Knesset Yisrael to be complete. It's almost as if the Shem Hashem is incomplete, like we spoke about on Molech. At this point, we want to see if we can connect the Medrash in the Yalkut Ruveni and this Pasuk that speaks about the desire of Shechem Fadina, together with a medrash. The medrash here in Vayikra, in Bereishis Rabbah, is a pell of a medrash. The medrash is discussing, is addressing the question or the subject of the chiba, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael. And the medrash is going to enumerate three different, shall we say, synonyms or words that at least are similar to each other in Lashon Kodesh that reflect on the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Knesset Yisrael. The Gemara is going to find these three words in different psukim in Tanakh referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and the same three words in the parasha of the desire and the lust of Shechem Fadina. An unbelievable parallel. You know, going from Tumah to Tara, from Tumah to Tara, you know, it doesn't. And the language of the Medrash here, it's Os Pei, is Vayedaber Chamor Itom Lemar. So that's the opening line here from our parasha from Vayishlach in Perek Lamed Aleph. Reish Lakish Omar, Begimel Lashona Shel Chiba, Chibei Vakodesh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, Bidveka, Bechashika, Ubechafeitza. Bidveka, V'yatem et veikim v'chashika lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim choshak Hashem b'chem chafeitza v'ishru eschem kol ha'goyim. And the pasuk mentions chafeitza. So there are three psukim all of the Tanakh, Tur and Sefer Dvarim. The last is in the end, at the end of Tanakh, Malachi, and they all reflect on a different dimension or a different category of love of HaKadosh Baruch for Knesset Yisrael. And then he says, "V'anu lemeidim osa miparsha shel Rosh Hazeh." Reish Lakish says that we derive these three words from the parsha of Shechem, this Rosh. Dveka v'tidbak nafsho, chasheka is chashka b'ni, is Shechem b'ni chashka nafsho b'bitchem, chafeitza ki chafeitz b'vas Yisrael. All these three words are forms of love and desire are expressed here in the parasha of Shechem and Dina, this Rasha. And these are the three kinds of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Knesset Yisrael. It's an amazing parallel. We go back to the Yalkut Ruveni, that somewhere in Shechem, there is a germ or a potential for Kedusha. That's obviously very profoundly submerged deep down in his personality. And what's on the surface is a Rasha Marusha that has to be killed. But it's the potential for Kedusha that's Choshka Nafsho the Nefesh Bas Yaakov. And Nefesh Bas Yaakov means the Tara and the Kedusha of Bas Yaakov. And mind-boggling that in this Medrash, the three forms of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are rooted in this Parsha, the three forms of desire and love of Shechem for Dina. The Medrash continues in the name of Rabbi Abba Bar Elisha, Mosif, Aftartein Bi'av V'dibur, Bi'ava Hafti Eschem. Okay, Malachi, it says that God loves you. B'dibur in Yeshaya, it says, Dabru Alev Yushalayim V'nelemeidu Bi'parsha Shal Rosh HaZeh, Bi'ava V'yeha V'esnat Nara, B'dibur V'dabru Alev HaNara. So it's unbelievable. We have the Yedabra Lev HaNara Shechem Tadina, and then we have Vayeva Sanara Shechem Tadina. And in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, we have both Av and Dibur. Again, this parallel. Now, let's go back to the Likutei Shoshanim of Rav Shimshon, and we point out over here that Rabbi Akiva is a nitzot of Shechem ben Chamor. So this is a slightly different variation of what we spoke about before, when we said that Yaakov didn't want to kill Esav because Rabbi Akiva would be a descendant of Esav. Now we're seeing, at least in terms of Gilgal Neshamos or nitzot of Kedusha, somehow Rabbi Akiva finds his source is rooted in Shechem, obviously in that Kedusha of Shechem. So the Kedusha, the element of Kedusha of Shechem and the Nefesh of Shechem never came to the fore in the personality of Shechem, but generations down the line in the personality of Rabbi Akiva, who's a Ben Gerim, this element of Kedusha of Shechem is going to now come to its realization, to its fore. And all this potential is in Shechem, where we find three different types of desire, a description of the desire of Shechem for Dina. And that desire, says the Yalkut Ruveni, emanates from his Tzad HaKedusha. Call it the Nitzotz of Kedusha that's within him, that's completely overridden or undermined and neutralized by his Tuma. And now we get to the word S that we saw here in the Pasuk of Tnuli Es HaNara LeIsha, where the Sofei Tevas HaYud Kei Vav Kei, except for the word S, and Rabbi Akiva, who is the ultimate personification of the Tzad HaKedusha of Shechem, because he's the Nitzos of Shechem and Chamor, he himself, Rabbi Akiva, is going to redeem that S and then restore the totality and the unity of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all these forms of love and desire of Shechem ultimately become the unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei, with Klal Yisrael in the three major pillars or types or categories of Ava. And that's what it means that Yotzeso Nishmoso, that Rabbi Akiva dies with the word Echad. Okay, now we have to look at Echad, Aleph Ches Dalid. And this is mind-boggling because the Aleph is a nutrikin for Ava, the Ches for Chafetza, and the Dalid for Dveka. So we're really talking about those three forms of love, or lust, if you will, desire of Shechem for Dina. And it's Rabbi Akiva, and the last word that comes out of utterance of his mouth in his lifetime, and Shas Yitzchak, some of that is a tikkun for those three forms of desire of Shechem for Dina, in the word Echad, which is Ava, Chafetz, and Dveka. Now, there's one other word here that could be a substitute, is Ditza, also ends with a Dal. So it's either Dveka or Ditza. And all of these forms of Ava, Chafetz, and Dveka, all these different manifestations are derived from Shechem, as we said. And everything is hinted at, alluded to in the word Echad of Shas Yitzias, the Shama of Rabbi Akiva. And just to take a look a little bit deeper at the relationship between Rabbi Akiva and Shechem. Shechem is the son of Chamor. And Chazal tell us, about Rabbi Akiva's early
early years, you know, before he became a Baal Tshuva. And Rabbi Akiva was a very, harsh, anti-Torah person. And the Gemara tells us in Psachim that Rabbi Akiva himself said, "Kshayisi amaretz, before I became a Baal Tshuva, Marti miiten li tamid chacham ve'enoshechena, and I'll bite him kechamor, like a donkey." So the Talmidim said to Rebbe, "Why like a donkey? Usually we think of an animal that bites as a dog, a rabid dog." Amar lehem, "Zeh noshech v'shover etzem. The chamor is even worse than a kelev, because the kelev just bites and runs away. The chamor, it bites and then he breaks the bones of his victim." And that's the extreme kind of hatred that Rabbi Akiva had in his youth when he was in Amoritz against the Talmidei Chachamim. But it's interesting that he compares himself to a chamor, and chamor is the father of Shechem. So the sod here, so to speak, the secret allusion here in the, you know, Pardes, in the sod of Pardes, is that Rabbi Akiva in his youth, he is chamor, the father of Shechem, in a sense. There's some equation there. But now take a look at this pasuk here. The pasuk that we had before, let's read it again. It says, "Vayomer Elokim el Yaakov, kum ale beis el." Now let's look at the Rashi Tevos of this pasuk, and you'll see Akiva Kishchem ben Chamor. Just one second. Now, the way I understand that, he's taking the Aleph of Vayomer Elokim El, and then he's taking the word Yaakov, and if you take the Aleph together with Yaakov, you end up with the name Rabbi Akiva, or Akiva, I should say. And Shechem himself, who's the son of Chamor, has a combination of two tumas. Remember, we spoke about two goyim, two tumas. And for this, we have to see the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos that divides up the night into three mishmoros. And on at the end of each of these mishmoros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shoikari, and that's because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the first mishmeres ends with Chamor Noer, the second with Klovim Tzoakim. So if we focus on these two mishmoros for a minute, then Shechem ben Chamor actually encompasses both the Chamor Noer, it's the end of the first mishmeres, and Klovim Tzoakim, the end of the second mishmeres. And that's where the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, is your hatred like that of the bite of a kelev? And all this is described in the writings of the Ari. And then Chamor and Shechem is Chamor, is Rashi Tevis. Take a look at the Ches Mem Reish, is Mishmora Rishona Chamor. So you have the Mem and you have the Reish, the Mem of Mishmora and the Reish of Rishona, and then you have the Ches of Chamor, that makes Chamor. Again, you have to just juggle the letters around. And Shechem is Rashi Tevis Mishmora Shnia Klovim, because you have the Shin and you've got the Chaf of Klovim and you have the Mem of Mishmora. The Zeladaiti Rebbe. Well, now he talks about Rebbe. And we don't know exactly what Rebbe is, but that's going to come down the line. We'll see if we have time for Rebbe, because Rebbe is a certain kind of, you know, in Gematria at least, a certain kind of an antithetical power, shall we say it that. And he says the following, that somehow there's a secret here in the fact that Rabbi Akiva responded to the Talmidah by saying that I should be compared to the Chamor and not to the Kelev. You know, the Kelev is representative of Shechem, and we said the Chamor is representative of the Chamor. But in any event, basically, again, you know, the Gemara Brochus on Daf Samach Alpha Beis tells the whole story of the Yitzias Neshama of Rabbi Akiva when they were torturing him, and he was busy accepting Kabbal Salmach Shemayim, and the Talmidim asked him, Ad Khan, I mean, that's what you... This is an unbelievable thing that you're doing here. So he says, "Kol yamayim mitzdar al posig zebuchol nafshecha filu notos nafshecha." Amarti masai yavo liyodi vakaimena. Achshav shebol liyodi lo akaimena, and haya marach bi echad atshiyotza nishmasa. So when he returned his soul to his master, that was with the word echad, and yotza basko viyomra shrecha Rabbi Akiva shiyotza nishmasa bi echad. And now, based on these Kabbalistic pronouncements, it's the Echad is a tikkun for the misplaced tumor ava of Shechem ben Chamor Fadina. And that's where Rabbi Akiva makes that tikkun, and he also makes a tikkun on the S because he darshens the S, and that's going to allow for the Yud Kei Vav Kei to be complete. Now, if you take a look at the Gemara Psachim that tells us that Shimon Hamsuni was the one who was darshaning all the Esen until he got to Es Hashem al Kechatira, and on that Rabbi Akiva says, Es Hashem al Kich L'Ravos Talmidei Chachamim. And it's really interesting because that's what Rabbi Akiva really personifies. The Tikkun of the Es is really through Torah study. And he is the personification of a Talmud Chacham. Now the Archaim HaKadosh here in Parshas Vayishlach tells us the following. He says, no, I'm sorry, this is the Archaim in Parshas Vayichi, and he says that Gam lefa'omim b'emtza'ut dveikus ha-nefesh ha-kadosh b'nefesh ha-tumah, this very strange and paradoxical integration or synthesis of Kedusha and Tuma in one person, he says that's the sod of Atidbak Nafsho Bedina Bas Yaakov Shova Nefesh Dina Hakdosha Lenefesh Kedusha Mina Shahoisa Nesuna Bitoch Shechem. So the Archaim HaKadosh also has this idea that there's a Nefesh Kedusha that is inherent somehow in the soul of Shechem. But now the Archaim adds something again from these concepts of reincarnation of souls, of Gulgulei Neshamas, and he says that the Nefesh of Shechem reappears, so to speak, resurfaces in no lesser a personality than Rav Hananya ben Tranyon. Rav Hanina ben Tranya was one of the Aruge Malchus. And there's a pasuk that speaks about Rachvas Yadayim right here, and Reish Ches Beis Tav is Rabbi Hanina ben Tranya. That's a remez that the Archaim invokes here, that Rav Hanina ben Tranya is ultimately the reincarnation of Shechem. So whatever Kedusha was inherited in Shechem, which is going to be fixed up by Rabbi Akiva, who's also a nitzotz of Shechem, as we said before, is also reaches its fruition or its realization in the personality of Rav Hanina ben Tranya. Now it's interesting because Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon tells us that who is the personality? Who is Rav Hanina ben Tranyon? Interesting. He says that Rabbi Meir marries the daughter of Hanina ben Tranyon. And this is pretty wild because we spoke before about the fact that Yaakov didn't want to kill Esav in that confrontation because ultimately Rabbi Meir was going to come out of that was going to come out of that lineage of Esav. And Rabbi Meir's father-in-law is Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon, who is a nefesh of Shechem. You know, so we have here two different things going on in our parsha. We have Yaakov Avinu protecting the life of Rabbi Meir, because he's Vayitzel, he's afraid that he'll kill Esav and Rabbi Meir won't come to fruition. He won't be born. And Rabbi Meir is the descendant of Esav. Now we have Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon, who's connected to Shechem. And in the middle of all this, we have Rabbi Akiva, who's also connected to Shechem. But the bottom line is that all the potential in Shechem comes through Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon, and the potential of Esav reaches its fruition in Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is married to the daughter of Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon. So it's very interesting how fascinating almost that all this, all of these Gilgulei Neshamas and so forth, or those who are descendants of whether it's Esav on the one hand or Shechem on the other hand, they all come to the fore in our parsha. And the last point we want to make here is that we mentioned before Rebbe, of course, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, is the author of the Mishnayos of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he also plays a role here somehow in the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav here in this parsha. Not because Rebbe Yehuda Nasi is in any sense or stretch of the imagination is a descendant of Esav or a personification of Esav, but rather because the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav represents the blueprint for the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav perpetually, meaning the descendants of Yaakov and the descendants of Esav throughout Jewish history. And the Ramban has a long presentation, a long discussion here about how we have to learn Parshas Vayishlach and understand how to imitate Yaakov Avinu in our interrelationship with the Goyim, with Edom around us, with Esav, the children of Esav. And the most important pasuk from the Ramban's perspective is in Parshas Vayishlach Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Hei Vayitzavosam Lema Kosam Ru Ladoni Leisav Ko Amar Avdecha Yaakov Im Lavan Garti VaEichar Anata. Now this becomes a blueprint for Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, for Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he is sending a message to the Roman Caesar. He's going to follow the example of Yaakov Avinu. What does Yaakov Avinu in his confrontation with Esav say? He calls him Adoni, my master, and he says about himself, Avdecha, I am your servant. Again, there are different perspectives on this, whether Yaakov was really justified in lowering himself so much in front of Esav, and maybe that would be punishable down the line. But what's important is that this becomes an Eitzah, as Rav Yanai says, Katsolik Lumalchusa, Havi Mistakel Bechada Parsha, Bahadur Parshasa. And whenever he had to have dealings, representing the Jewish people having dealings with Malchei Edom on Iskei Tzibur, he would look into this parasha and he would try to find the Eitzah from the Zaken, meaning from Yaakov HaChacham, and Mimenu Yiru L'Doros V'chein Yasu. And we will imitate the approach of Yaakov for all generations. So that's what the Shalosh says here in Parshas Vayishlach. Da she'inyan parsha zu lo levad al Yaakov yotzo ki im al yotze chalotzov gamkein ma'isov v'sibu lebonim k'mo she'erach haramban u'k'mo she'sholach Yaakov li'esov u'k'mo she'nog hu b'dorah b'tfilu milchoma k'ei nog im anachtu b'doreinu livnei esov. Thousands of years later, we are imitating Yaakov's method Again, ein kochenu el befinu lispal Hashem. We don't really have the ability to go out to milchama against the umas ha'olam. Maybe that's a little bit different today, but certainly in the Shalom's time, it was unthinkable. But we have a different kind of battle against the Goyim. And that is, number one, Hishtadlush Mukhuyam Mishtadlonim Yisrael Lahois Pneim Neged Mel. We have to fight for our rights against the kings. And number two, we have to pray to Hashem. And that's our Koch of Tefillah. And here the Medrash says, "Vayitzavo som lemar kosomru ladonile sov." Rabbeinu Omar, Rabbeinu is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omali leRabbi Afos. I guess he was the sofer. Ksov chad igra, write in igeres, min shmi, and sign my name on it. Lemaron malka Antinonus, Antoninus. So this is the Caesar Antoninus, and he's the top. He's the king of the adversary of Klal Yisrael, and basically the nusach is bin avdoch Yehuda lemoran malka Antinonus. Omale Rebbe mipnei matam vazal kvodcha. So the sofer is writing this igeres, Rabbi Afos. He turns to Rabbi Nakosh and says, "Why are you lowering yourself, humiliating yourself?" Omale. So Rebbe responds. He says, "Ma na tov min sabi? Am I better than my grandfather?" Lokach Omar. Didn't Yaakov say this to Esav? Komar avdecha Yaakov. So he humiliated. He humbled himself to Esav, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So when the pasuk says "Vayitzavo som lemar kosom rula donile sov koamar avtecha," the lemar means lemar lidoros, that Yaakov Avinu is planting the seeds and the behavior pattern for any interrelationship with the malchus of the goyim on the part of the Jewish community throughout its history, and I'm not better. And that's the lemar. Lemar means lidoro. Sheyinagu kach kol yemei galusom anchi galenu geulas olam. And in the Shvilei Pinchas, he says that vayetzavo som lemar hayu lidoros sheyilmad rabbeinu hakadosh mimenu lehikana lifnei antinonos. So this attitude of kniya, of humbling yourself before the king, is something that we learn from Yaakov Avinu. And if you take a look at the word lemar, he points out, it's also a nutrikin. The lamin aleph mem resh of lemar is liamos antinonis melech romi. And this means that the lemar is a preparation for the interrelation between Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Antinonus, who's the Melech of Rome, and it's going to be Limos Antinonus Melech Romi, that's the Lamar. And the Megala Amukos of Rabbi Shimshin Shapiro of 5 centuries ago, he writes that Antinonus is a Gilgal of Esav, Rebbe is a Gilgal of Yaakov. And he has proofs for this. And basically he says that Rebbe, representing Yaakov, is going to approach Antinonus, representing Esav, in the same identical mode of presentation and interrelationship. And that's a repetition of history. That's Maisav, Siman Lebanon. Now, you may ask, does Esav himself have any sort of, we spoke about Shechem and the Nitzotz of Kedusha. What about Esav? You remember that Chazal tells us that Yaakov was hiding Dina from Esav. So it seems that Esav also would have had possibly a desire for Dina. That same idea repeats itself. So the Likutei Torah, in the name of the Arizal, says that there are Nitzotz, Hine Esav Hayabo Nitzotz Kedusha. The ger, I guess there's gerus that could come from Esav, and that's because of the Nitzotz Kedusha of Esav. Gnuzos befiv, and somehow in the face and the mouth specifically, kitzayin befiv, that's where these Nitzotz of Kedusha are to be found. And later on, where Chushim cuts off the head of of Esav down the line is that head rolls into the Maris HaMachpelah and it's buried there with Yitzchak. So the head of Esav is buried with Yitzchak because the Kedusha that was inherent as in only a potential form in Esav was in his head. And that's why his head was zochen to be buried in the Maris HaMachpelah. Now, Hispalel Moshe B'Eis Ahi, we're going back to Vayeschanan for a moment, and Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel, according to the Megala Mukos, he's mispalel about something down the line when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is going to author the sixth Sidrei Mishnah, Al Oso Eishi Yiten HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chen L'Rebbe B'Einei Antinonos, what's going to save Rabbi when he's confronting Antinonos, is Hashem is going to give Chen, Evrana, and now Moshe Rabbeinu in his tefillah is reciting the pasuk Evrana, no trikon. Now we're going to take Evrana, and we're going to take it apart. The Aleph of Evra is Antoninus, and then we have Antoninus, Asu B'Yemei, Rabbeinu HaKadosh Nitzotz Echad L'chein Nikra Rabbi Yehuda Nasi No Trika Nitzotzo Shel Yaakov Avinu. So Nasi is a Nutrika, and the Nun Yud Sin Yud Aleph is Nitzotzo Shel Yaakov Avinu, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh is the Nasi, he's the Nitzotz of Yaakov Avinu. Let's go back for a second to Evrana, Aleph Ayin Beis Reish Hey, Antinonos, Asu, Beis is Bimei, Reish is Rabbeinu, and Hey is HaKadosh, and then Na is Nitzotz Echad. In other words, both Antinonos and Esav come from the same Nitzotz. Now there's a lot to talk about as Rebbe as a Nitzotz of Yaakov Avinu, because Rebbe represents Tiferes. And actually, Rebbe, as a Nitzotz of Yaakov, opens up his presentation, the second Perek of Avos, with Ezi Derech Yeshara, Kol Shi Tiferes Lo Sev, Tiferes Lo Adom. The emphasis here is on Tiferes, because Yaakov, as an embodiment, I mean, Rebbe, as an embodiment of Yaakov, embodies and personifies the Midah of Tiferes. And this goes on, and there's a lot more to discuss. But basically, to summarize the overall discussion here in Parshas Vayishlach, from our perspective, is to try to appreciate why Yaakov Avinu doesn't want to kill Esav, and the fact that Rabbi Meir ultimately comes from Esav, Rabbi Akiva's relationship to Esav, and then we spoke about the Parsha of Shechem, and the desire of Shechem Fendina as representative of some sort of Nitzotz of Kedusha, and from Shechem we have Rabbi Akiva as a Nitzotz of Shechem, perhaps we have Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon that enters into the picture, and we see how all of human history, and certainly all of Jewish history, ties together through this sod element of Torah, the Shivim Panim LaTorah. Again, as I said at the outset, this is not pshat, but this is a whole other perspective, and you're entering into a whole world. I want to again take this opportunity to thank Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. I did not meet him, I never heard a shir, but he does put together some wonderful Mar Makomos in Sfarim that I normally don't have access to in my crazy schedule, where we're learning three different Prakim in Masechta Shabbos plus a Perek at the end of Pesachim. But be that as it may, whatever you were able to get out of the shir, That's what we hope you got, and we appreciate that. We want to wish everyone a great Shabbos, Parshas Vayishlach, and before you know it, Vayeshev and Chanukah is coming around. We're looking forward to that, and wishing everyone Shabbat Shalom. Bye bye.